Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, third hour, coming live from our Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage, with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Monday around the old country. U.S. of A, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 206 on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. We've got Gary Stevens coming up in about, 15, 16 minutes roughly. Hall of Fame jockey, three-time Kentucky Derby winner. You and I will really dive into the mess in Kentucky this past weekend. But let me at least throw this on you real fast because we'll finish up at 5:40. So in about 35 minutes from now, 5:40 Eastern, 2:40 Pacific. We'll do the blast as per always and give you a nice taste of what the NBA will entail tonight. Do you believe that, don't expound, just give us a little glance and I'll do the same for you. Do you think if the Celtics lose tonight and fall behind 3-1, mm-hmm. that they are still capable of coming back to win the series?
No.
Okay, I do.
Why?
I'll expand later. Right. Just said don't expand. If the Rockets lose tonight and fall behind 3-1, do you believe that they are capable of coming back and winning the series?
I do.
Wow. I would say no. So we totally disagree, which will make it very interesting. We'll get to that a little later in the show. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. So, very few times in my sporting life have I been so confused. I think the last time it was like this was maybe 1983 George Brett Pintar game.
Huh,
I'm not kidding. Where
meaning you didn't know you didn't,
I didn't know what the heck was going on. I mean, yeah. I knew that what they were complaining about, but
of course
you start to see the measurement on home plate and Billy Martin asserting that George Brett's pine tar is past what's the legal limit, and you got Greg Nettles there, basically stirring the pot, imploring them to ring him up, which they do, and then George Brett runs out of the dugout like a psychopath and he wants to attack every ump in his sight. And they eventually replay the game a couple of months later. The home run stands. The Yankees had like Ron Guidry in center field. It was incredibly weird. And the Royals actually won the game. The home run eventually stood. I didn't know what the heck was going to happen.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I don't think I know enough about horse racing to know until obviously this weekend that once you're in a lane, like in a track, you have to kind of stay there.
Yeah.
You don't think of it that way. You think of it because... I think back to track and field because BT knows that I love track and field because I ran it until I was my second or third year in college until I put on 20 pounds and couldn't. I wasn't fast anymore. But that happens all the time in track and field
where you're
maneuvering. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When you're running distance races, you see it all the time. Guys want to come on in the inside. You just kind of like inch in just a little bit so they can't get by you.
Sure.
Obviously, there's a rail there.
At the grocery store, too.
Exactly.
Hey, buddy.
Exactly. You see someone, walking you down from the outside. You just mm-hmm. kind of drift out just a little bit, make them run a couple steps farther. And, it is what it is. It's accepted. It's not interference. But I think a lot of novice horse racing watchers got an education about what's legal and what's not. And mm-hmm. the thing that jumped in my mind as soon as they started to debate this was this has to happen all the time. There's no way that this doesn't happen in almost every race,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's intentional or unintentional.
It doesn't matter, though.
I agree.
Yeah.
But how come we never hear about it?
Maybe because it doesn't happen.
But it has to. That's my point.
I'm going to ask Gary. That's definitely one of the questions I'm going to ask Gary. Are you telling me in the previous 144 Kentucky Derbies, while I know that nobody's been disqualified for that.
Yes.
Are you telling me that that's never transpired ever? Now, the one thing, maybe the answer is yes, and trust me, I'm certainly in for an education when it comes to horse racing. Part of learning is knowing what you don't know, and
yes.
I don't know much about horse racing, neither does my partner. But I would have to think that with all the new camera angles each year, the accessibility,
that's a great point.
I'd have to think that in, 1909 or 1930, it's the longest running event in North American sporting history.
Yeah.
What was the first Kentucky Derby? 18,
75? Is that the year? It's 18-something. Do the math. I mean, I don't know.
That's hard math.
Especially when you've been sick all weekend and your throat's killing you now. It's very hard math. I think it was 1875. It's certainly the late 1800s.
Yeah, 75. You're right.
1875. So is it unfair to the horse Maximum Security who ran a flawless race? Mm-hmm. Well, you can't say flawless because flawless would be, you know, getting out to a lead, sustaining it, knowing when to ride back so you don't exhaust your horse, but also not breaking rules. Yeah. That would be flawless. Yeah. And then winning. He ran a great race. He was the best horse. I have no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But there was an infraction.
Well, here's the thing. So think about the infractions that get called. And so I'll parallel this to the NFL. We did this when we talked about it at the top of the show, BT. There's holding every play in the National Football League. But you know what the foul is. And so if you are a viewer, and again, it just doesn't matter from the viewer standpoint because it's the rules officials. It's what's written in the rules books that matter more than anything. But if you're a viewer and you see a left tackle grab a defensive end and just nudge him just a little bit, and you see the running back scoot around the edge and, you know, go score a 60-yard touchdown,
yep,
you understand and you say that was illegal, right? That you can't do.
Well, because you just say if that didn't happen, that hole would not have been
exactly
there. That guy would not have run 60 yards.
In this instance,
I know where you're going.
Right? In this instance, when you see a horse drift, and for whatever reason, whether it was because he was spooked, because some people said it was the crowd spooked him, or
there was water underneath the rail,
exactly,
which obviously affects the horse's vision.
Right? He doesn't want to step into the water,
yep,
whatever it is.
Yep.
He scoots out and, you know, I guess barely clips or steps in front of the horse that was behind him. I forget which one it was, but he steps in front of the horse behind him who has to check up and then limits his ability to
number
obviously
20, Will of War.
Yeah, exactly. To go forward with any kind of pace and
yeah,
overtake him. But as a fan, like looking at it, you're not saying, well, that's why he lost. You know what I mean?
Well, we're not, because we're not ardent consumers of the sport.
True.
If you are a true aficionado of horse racing, that might be very obvious to you.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
what's obvious to us on an NFL Sunday, even though it's inside the trenches and it's a little murky with the big bodies, we've seen it so many times. We consume it every single Sunday for our entire life, and Saturdays with college,
yeah,
our entire lifetime. It's part of our sporting automatic code, infraction. How many times do you watch horse racing each year? I watch it three times.
Three times.
I watch it three times. I got to be honest. The other two, I'm not always locked into them.
No.
I could be at a barbecue. I could be on vacation.
BT,
I could be on the golf course.
Unless,
whatever.
Unless it's like last year where Justified is going for a Triple Crown.
Yep.
I got to be honest. I rarely watch.
Yeah. I mean,
the Belmont.
I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, it's the middle of the summer. If there's something to do, there's something to do.
Yeah. I agree.
I mean, it's what it is.
You know, I want to see history. If there's Triple Crown is going to happen, I'll watch it.
Uh-huh.
If not, I'm not going to watch it.
What do you think? Because I got to be honest with you, the uproar.
The uproar was financial. I think the uproar was what was it? What was the number we saw? $42 million. $42 million was lost because he didn't win, because Country House ended up getting the title as opposed to Maximum Security. $42 million. That's the uproar. That's why people look at it.
True.
But
do
you think that the uproar, especially on social media, do you think they don't know Maximum Security?
Wait a second. We don't even count social media for things that we all know. We're going to start leaning on social media to tell us what the heck's going on.
But that's where a lot of
nobody knows.
But that's where a lot of the uproar was coming from.
But do you think purists
said they got it right?
Exactly. And I agree. And I'm not a purist, clearly.
Yes.
But I agree. I mean, we always joke around. Sometimes Mr. Literal's got to make the appearance. And I believe that if there's a rule that's written, I mean, I've said this so many times, it seems like a lazy regurgitation, but I really have to reset it for now. If there's an infraction that is committed in the first quarter,
yeah,
the first inning, whatever, I believe that you officiate with the same vigor and
yeah,
the same lens, the same scope
yeah,
that you would with 13 seconds to go in the fourth quarter or 100 yards to go, 100 feet to go in a horse race.
But I think the biggest thing that makes maybe exacerbates this
yeah,
is the fact that it took 22 minutes.
See, I think that actually solidifies and strengthens their position.
But if it's that obvious,
it wasn't hasty.
But if it's that obvious,
it wasn't obvious because they had to reposition the other horses. That's what everybody's missing. It didn't take 22 minutes for them to determine, yes, he swayed. It was okay. He swayed. He won the horse. Now we've got to drop him back. I believe it was 17th. Now we have to reestablish the order of all of these other horses. That's what everybody's omitting.
But don't you understand?
And you have to do that.
But don't you understand how ridiculous that is?
Not ridiculous to those who ran the race. Ridiculous to those who consume the sport on a real, you know, tangible daily
but
level.
But there's no science. If this horse checks up by 8%, then... you know, his closing.
We're talking about like deceleration speed.
Yeah, his now reacceleration speed after, you know, being three quarters of the way around the track will be approximately this. So he would have fit. I mean, that just sounds ridiculous. See, I mean, it doesn't make any sense to try to do that. I mean, look, maybe they got it right. Maybe this is the way it's supposed to be, but I don't know. I don't know.
It's confusing. When you say, I don't know, I think you speak for the entire country outside of those one percenters that really understand everything about the sport, which is why we do what we have to do. We bring in a Hall of Fame jockey, Gary Stevens, 3-time winner of the Derby, will join us next, and we'll get the answers. Did they get it right from the initial, you know, infraction all the way to the trickle-down effect, the 22-minute evaluation? What was hit? What was missed? He'll spell it all out for you. You don't want to miss this. Gary Stevens joins Tiki and Tierney next on CBS Sports Radio. Somebody ripped up a ticket. Once you rip it up, you can't cash it in. We're joined by Gary Stevens. Absolute nuttiness at the 145th Kentucky Derby as a long shot. 65-1. Country House gets awarded the win. Disqualification. Maximum Security ran a great race. And wow, we've got a lot to sort through. Gary, a Hall of Famer, 3-time Derby winner, and he's with us here on the show. Gary, Tiki, and Tierney, how are you today, buddy?
I'm doing well, actually. Just came from a meeting in Lexington, heading back to Louisville right now. So I wish the weather would have been like this on Saturday. That's all I can tell you.
I'm sure a lot of jockeys were thinking that as well. A lot of enthusiasts of the sport. I get you. Yeah, I want to start this here, Gary. One of the most bizarre 22 minutes of any sporting sequence, I think, that we've ever seen in our lifetime here. Now, it obviously, I don't know that it was a bad day for the sport, but was it a fair day for the sport? Just unpack everything for us because, man, there's so much to hit here.
It was a fair day for racing in America. Under the current rules of racing in the United States, including the state of Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, and that is that if a horse impedes, intimidates, or interferes with any other horse in the race, costing them a position, they shall be disqualified or demoted to a position behind any horse that they interfered with, impeded, or intimidated. So the stewards made the right call. I mean, that was a no-brainer. Was it fair to the owners? Was it fair to the bettors? No, it wasn't. And under the international rules, which is a Classification 1 ruling, those rules say that if the horse or horses that were interfered with were not going to beat the winner, they would not be demoted or disqualified unless it was gross negligence that kept a horse from even finishing the race. And the penalties for the jockey, if it was concluded that it was the jockey's fault for the interference, those penalties are extremely stiff in Europe. I've ridden under those rules for many years when I traveled to Europe, Japan. We are the only major racing jurisdiction, North America, here in Canada, that do not race under those, and I expect that to change soon.
Yeah, so, Gary, what you're saying is essentially the jockey should be able to hold his horse in line, and if this was international, that Maximum Security still would have been given the win because those other horses, especially country, they wouldn't have beat him, correct?
No, the best horse won the race, and it's unfortunate. My heart bleeds for everyone involved, including the jockey, of who I would exonerate for the interference.
Why?
He was hugging the rail. That was not a maneuver by the jockey. You have to understand that Maximum Security had only raced 4 times. He's a 3-year-old. He's basically an outstanding kindergartner that's racing at pro level. And if you go back and watch the tapes of the race, what you're going to see, put it in super slow motion, at the 5/16 pole, that's still rounding the turn just about before they come into the stretch, you're going to see mud puddles underneath the inside rail. And they had turned the lights on prior to the race. Perhaps the race has run too late, and under those rainy conditions, believe me, it was dark out there. So they had turned the lights on. What that was causing is heavy glare on the racetrack, almost like headlights in certain spots where the water was pooling. It looked like headlights shining into your eyes. And horses' eyes are very, very sensitive, and they're not too good, to be honest with you. They see things sometimes that aren't there. So what happened was, in my opinion, that Maximum Security, there was a big puddle of water under the rail at the 5/16 or quarter pole,
yep.
And he shied away from it, causing him to switch into his right lead, of which people out there that don't know, a horse travels around the turn in their left lead, meaning that their left front leg is leading the show. When they come into the straightaway, they swap into their right lead, and that pulls them down the stretch. And when they go into the right lead around the turn, their centrifugal force cannot hold them in. And this happened in like 0.04 hundredths of a second. And Louis, God bless him, I mean, he reached for him, grabbed him, and he got him corrected in about 0.02 seconds. But the damage had already been done,
yep.
And he got him back in the position he had been in the entire race. So the damage had already been done by the time Louis, and all this took less than a second to take place. So at 45 miles an hour, I mean, I can't put any blame on the jockey at all. But I do think that the stewards, under the current rules that we have, they had to follow the law of the state of Kentucky, and they did, and there was a disqualification, unfortunately.
So that's Gary Stevens, Hall of Fame jockey, three-time Kentucky Derby winner. Obviously, you know, I mean, a long shot with odds that are, you know, I mean, obviously calculable, mm-hmm. but in the betting world, almost incalculable. I mean, 65-1 doesn't ring true too often. It's incredible. I guess what my question here, Gary, I am, anytime this comes up in the other sports, and it comes up a lot, whether it's the strike zone, whether it's a catch in the NFL, I joke around, I'm Mr. Literal. If the rule is there, whether it's the start of a game, whether it's the fourth quarter, to use the basketball analogy, whether it's the ninth inning for baseball, just apply it as per the rule book. But I guess my question is, this was the 145th running of the Derby. Are we supposed to believe that there was, and maybe the answer is yes, that there was never a similar infraction in the previous 144 like the one we saw on Saturday? I find that very hard to believe.
Not with the winner.
Really?
Not with the winner of the race. No.
Wow.
There's been one incident in, I believe it was 1982, with Gate Dancer finishing third, and he had a record of interfering with horses. He was a wild running horse, a very difficult horse to control. He was demoted from third place to fourth place in the 82 running, and then I believe that it was 89 when El Ashiba won the Kentucky Derby and bet twice with Craig Perrett aboard, drifted in front of El Ashiba. Mm-hmm. And El Ashiba, it was probably one of the most miraculous recoveries and performances that I've seen in Kentucky Derby history. If you get a chance to YouTube it, everybody should, because Bet twice drifted out in front of Chris McCarron and Al Ashiba. They clipped heels, and Al Ashiba went down to his knees. Chris didn't fall off. He recovered and went on and won that race. But I can say, if Chris would have stayed on and didn't get up to win with Al Ashiba, that Bet twice would have been disqualified. And that's the last time I can really remember the winner interfering with anybody.
Wow, that's interesting. You know, Gary, one of the,
Gary West, who is the owner of Maximum Security, brought up a point that has been talked about. Usually around this time, the Kentucky Derby, you get some of these larger fields. It's typically 20. It was 19 yesterday during the 145th running. Is the field too large? He brought up the concern. It's too big because it's atypical. Usually they're running in fields of 14 or so.
Yeah, I mean, in Europe, it's not unusual to have a 30-horse field, but the courses are much wider. They split into sections because the straightaways are so long. When I say they split away in sections, there becomes the right-hand side of the race, the middle side of the race, and the left-hand side of the race. All of our racetracks here in the United States are left-handed, except for Kentucky Downs, which is strictly a turf course racetrack. With undulations, European-type track. But when these horses race, we race in a pack, and we're making left-hand turns. People would say, what are you going to do on this race? And I say, I'm going to turn left.
Yeah,
it's like NASCAR, you know, really. And dealing with 14 horses at Churchill Downs is a good number. When you're dealing with 20, and it's the Kentucky Derby, and now running for $3 million, it's a scrum early on. It's dangerous. We're all paid to do a job, but it's dangerous for the horses. It's dangerous for the jockeys, and I truly believe that it should be regulated at 14 horses, the same as the Preakness and the other Triple Crown race, the Belmont Stakes.
Interesting. Hey, by the way, Gary, I'm going to be in a charity race coming up this weekend in Meadowlands for harness racing. Anything to worry about here, buddy? I'm serious. Well, he's laughing, though.
Just don't let the horse break stride, and let that buggy's forks go in the ground, because it's not pretty. I did a charity race years ago with Lafitte Pinkai and several other jockeys at Los Alamitos race course in the Trotters, and Lafitte's horse broke stride, and the forks hit. They're going to kill me for not knowing the terms, but the forks hit the ground and it ejected him about two stories high, and he broke both collarbones. So,
I mean, you got to be kidding me.
Think about that before you climb.
Oh, yeah, great. What a soothing thought that is. Here's a really dumb question for you, but I am so curious as to what the answer is here. So, you know, if you win the Derby, all right, obviously stud fees are through the roof. We know that Maximum Security's athletic prowess is what it is, because he won the race.
Yeah, and he was previously undefeated.
Yes, even if he doesn't actually have the moniker Kentucky Derby winner. Does that adversely affect the stud rate because it was taken away from him? He's not technically the winner.
That's a great question, and that's one of the questions that we had a break at the meeting that some of the high-profile people in our business. It's called the Thoroughbred Idea Foundation. I'm on the board of directors, and we're trying to attack problems in this business to better our business, and one of them is the stewardship and the Class 1, Class 2 education of our sport. And we had this conversation at lunchtime, and you know, that was touched on, and
Gary, I got one more question for you. We only got about a minute left, but Gary West also has said that Maximum Security is not going to run in the Preakness Stakes. Is that good, bad? How are we interpreting this?
Well, hey, I was asked this morning earlier on an interview, is that sour grapes or what? And I said no. And I, before I had read his or listened to his interview, Mr. West, I said there's no reason to run back in 2 weeks. There's no Triple Crown on the line, and it's not Jason Service's style. He's a very, very conservative trainer that really looks after his horses, and I would expect to see him back in the Belmont. I don't want to train for Jason Service. I don't want to mark his training chart, but he's going to have 5 weeks between that race on Saturday and the Belmont Stakes. The sad part about it, if he wasn't disqualified, I thought he was a dead mortal lock to win the Preakness. and go on and have a chance in the Belmont with his running style for the Preakness. I mean, he's got speed, he's got tackability, and he's a beautiful horse, and he showed what he can do, and he looks like a standout in this trot. The one thing I was going to touch on about what you asked, his value, when you read the Stallion catalog at the offspring, at the sales of Maximum Security, there won't be an asterisk, there won't be anything else, but this is probably the most Kentucky most famous Kentucky Derby and historical Kentucky Derby, except for the Derby's inception, to ever be run. So everybody is going to know, no matter what the catalogs say, that he was the actual Derby. He crossed the finish line in the Kentucky Derby.
That's good clarity on that. Gary Stevens, Hall of Fame jockey, three-time Kentucky Derby winner. Wow, what a crazy weekend. Appreciate it, Gary. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, Tiki and Tierney back. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network here. It is time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here. Teak, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question, Will Brenly at LearnT tweets, Blazers or Nuggets, which team has the momentum to win this series, guys? I don't think it's about momentum necessarily as much as it is, this is going to sound really lazy, but just about execution.
Absolutely.
I don't sense momentum execution in this series.
I think you're right. It's going to be back and forth all series long. Steph has been playing bad. Seth Curry had a heck of a second quarter last night. Scored 14 points, couple three-pointers I think he made. But then they went cold in the third. So it's really about not momentum, but who can execute consistently for four quarters, which neither team has done consistently throughout the first four games of the series.
I think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices. Every single day, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Sirius XM Channel 206. We'll get to the blast a little bit here. Just a reminder, Tuesday night, CBS Sports Network gets the ball rolling with the USBC Intercollegiate Bowling Championships.
Bowling.
As top bowlers compete for the men's singles title at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, followed by the women's team's finals only on CBS Sports Network.
Just watching a bunch of the highlights in the break, because every show is talking about the Kentucky Derby, and when you watch that, when you rewatch it over and over again, there is a line of water, like just standing water, around that last turn.
Talking about by the rail.
By the rail.
No question about it.
That Maximum Security, it's like he jumped over it. Like he was running towards it, because as Gary Stevens was talking about, this centrifugal force, which pushes you outwards, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was pushing him out. He saw it, and it's like he stepped. It's interesting when you really watch it. He, like, stepped over the water, so he's running on the right side of it, and then the jockey pulled him back inside, so he jumped over it again, and he went down the rail. So the weather conditions certainly played a part in it, but it was also the huge field, and we didn't play the sound in this top of the hour, but this is interesting about Gary West. We asked Gary Stevens about this, but this is what Gary West, the owner of Maximum Security, had to say about this field, which is enormous.
I obviously saw the horse move out, but in the Kentucky Derby, where you've got 20 horses, and you shouldn't have 20 horses in the Kentucky Derby, Churchill Downs, because they're a greedy organization, has, rather than 14 like you have in the Kentucky Oaks, the Breeders' Cup, every other race in America, just because they can make more money, they're willing to risk horses' lives and people's lives to do that. I'm not a fan of that. I think they ought to have 14 like every other race. But yes, I saw the horse move out. But every Kentucky Derby, you could set down two or three or four horses if you wanted to, because it's like a rodeo out there.
There's a lot of congestion. Yeah. It was a 25,000 enter and then 25 more. I think it's 50,000 total for the feed, right?
So 50,000 times six horses.
It's about $300,000. What does it actually do? How much does that change the bottom line?
I don't see greedy with that, unless, BT, think about the gambling aspect of
but
it.
But why would they care? That's independent. Well,
I mean, I'm sure they got to get a cut of
they
it.
Yeah, they do. They get a cut.
So they get some cut of it, and then people, you mean thousands of people go to Churchill Downs to see the Kentucky Derby. So I'm going to pick this horse
who
has no chance, but you know what? I like the name.
Everybody plays a long shot.
You know what I mean?
So the more horses you have, I'll throw, depending upon your wealth, I'll throw
$100.
$100 I'll throw. $500 I'll throw. $10,000 on a long shot. I mean, it depends what you have.
Yeah, country house. Yeah, 65 to 1 odds. 65 to 1 odds. Oh, I thought of a couple hundred on that one.
Yeah. You know how many people probably make bets that they forget that they made?
Yeah.
You're day drinking.
No doubt.
Or you forget at least the amount that you bet.
You're like morning drinking and then day drinking.
Yeah, and then you move to brunch drink, and then you do a little lunch drink, and then you do a little pre-dinner drinking. That's crazy. I don't know enough because I haven't heard enough noise because there really hasn't been a situation quite like this. It's really unique. Has there been other complaints about the size of the field at the Kentucky Derby? Is this a consistent
I feel like Bob Baffert
talking
said
point.
This to us.
I haven't heard it too much. It's not if I'm not saying it hasn't happened. Doesn't seem overly loud.
Yeah, no, like it's, not. This ever, it's not. You know. It's not. You know, and it's usually from like Gary West. He's not overly successful at Churchill Downs. I feel like Bob Baffert said this to us, but Bob Baffert is a Hall of Fame
legend.
A legend.
Yep.
And kind of just like, yeah, it is what it is. I win enough, so I don't really care.
Yeah.
But when you get, you know, I put it in quotes, screwed out of a title, then you scream loudly and call them a greedy organization.
Okay. All right. This is obviously the story of the year so far, right? Pertaining to sports. Gotta be.
I'm telling you.
It's gotta be.
It's right up there with the non-interference call in the NFC Championship game with the Saints and the Rams.
Doesn't this feel louder in a weird way?
Yeah, I think it's louder because there's so much misinformation. Like, we don't really know. We kind of know. We think the stewards made the right judgment call, but should it have been the right judgment call? Whereas pass interference on
pretty cut and dry. There's only so much you can yell.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's only so much to interpret. You see the visual, it's obviously a penalty which was ignored. So
yep.
Okay, let's hit the blast. Here we go, guys.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, so the Panthers are inducting Steve Smith, Jake Delhomme, Jordan Gross, and Wesley Walls, the old tight end, into the Hall of Fame. What do we think of all 4 getting elected to the Panthers Hall of Fame?
I think Steve Smith's a no-brainer.
Yep.
Wesley Walls is a no-brainer, even though he won a championship in his early years with the San Francisco 49ers. Jordan Gross,
Quantify the old line, but
he played forever
very
there.
Good.
Yeah.
Very good.
So I'm going to say, and he's a sideline reporter now. We've had him on the show, actually.
Yeah.
And he's great. Jake Delhomme, I guess because of the Super Bowl year.
I guess.
I mean, statistic wise, it doesn't.
That's the one that it seems a little bit out of place, with all due respect.
Yeah,
to Jake
it doesn't fit, but he took
him
to a Super Bowl. And so they got established somewhere.
How did he do in the Super Bowl?
That game was actually.
How did he do? I'm trying to remember. How did he do? What was his numbers?
They
in that
lost
game?
Them on a field goal. I mean, that was a Vinatieri field goal win.
Didn't he throw a ton of picks?
I don't. No, I think that was a couple years later that he had a few. I don't remember. That's a good question. I got to look at that. No, Kerry Collins had 5.
No, I know. But I thought Delhomme got picked a few times. Either way, that's a tough name to throw up there. But you know what? Listen, here's
it's my... It's only 1996.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a short...
I guess my position with this is... It really
300
depends.
Yards, 3 touchdowns.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. No,
they got close to beating the Pats.
Yeah, 5 picks in his last game. I think that it really doesn't matter what you and I think about. It's what Carolina Panther fans think. This is them. And when you walk into the building, do you have a good feeling about Jake? I would imagine that you do.
Yeah, I think
the
they
other
do.
3 for sure. So, all right. Okay, we'll give it to him. We'll barely give it to him. Number 2 here, Teak. Vegas bullish on my Knicks and the 2020 summer. How about this? Title odds are at 16-1 next year. That's 4th or 5th best in the NBA in terms of projected odds for a team that won 17 times. Does Vegas know something, or are they just trying to create action?
No,
well, Vegas never cavalierly tries to create action. They don't just say, well, let me throw this out there and maybe entice people to bet. Every single thing that they do is predicated upon information. Now, sometimes the information could be misinformation. It's up to the guys in the desert to sort through the nonsense and get what's right. You watch this show. I've been saying for almost a year now, KD's coming to the Garden. So I think those odds make sense.
They're crazy.
How about this? Kevin Pillard, this was a great catch.
It was.
Makes an incredible leap. Although I want to say, I don't know if we actually have this catch.
Although it, a tad unnecessary.
That's what I was going to say. He jumped and he committed to the leap so deep, and then the ball kind of blew back in the field of play, and I don't know if he really needed to jump at the end, but it still looked good. Anyway, made a great catch at the wall. Was it more difficult based on his missed time of the jump?
No doubt, DT. He's jumping. He grabs the wall with his off hand, so his right hand. His glove hand is his left hand. Yep. So he grabs a wall. So he's holding on, holding on, and then he's thinking of reaching to grab this ball, and it's like in his waist. Mm-hmm. That's a hard catch, man.
It is a hard catch.
Especially because he's leaning over because he's not looking the ball. And then he obviously thinks it's going to come high, mm-hmm. and then he's got to recite it and then put it. I mean, that's a heck of a catch.
I'll tell you what. I think one of the most overlooked, tough, difficult tasks in all the sport is racing face first toward a wall at an incredibly high rate of speed. If you do it right, with your back to home plate, and then having to pick up the spherical object that is flying at you, mm-hmm. whether it's 90 miles per hour exit velo, 101, 80, it's almost independent of the velocity. That is a lot of moving variables there. Did he make it a little tougher? Yeah, but you know what? Got to look good. Got to get on SportsCenter, y'all.
Flip the hat. Flip the hat.
Yeah. I used to do that as a kid. Run, even if you don't have to. We all did that. Knock the hat off, right? The Red Sox, don't look now. They're starting to wake up a little bit. The Red Sox have won 11 of 16. Just one game under 500. How confident are we that they're starting to right their collective ship? Well, listen, I think it was just a matter of time. Mookie Betts is starting to wake up. That's mm-hmm. a given. You know, Chris Sale's radar readings are starting to go north. Now, David Price has an injury.
Yep, he's on the IL.
Yep, he just went there this weekend. Uvaldi's hurt, and that's the elbow, which is always a problem. Still don't fully trust the bullpen, but this is not a surprise. What was surprising was how poorly they came out of the chute. Red Sox have a lot of weapons. They're just starting to flex on people now.
World Series hangover. They're good to go.
Tiki, very short and sweet
efficient.
Today.
Yeah, call very it efficient.
Very economical with your words today, buddy.
I gotta save them for tomorrow when you're out.
That's
doing
true.
I'm doing this solo.
Oh, you're going solo?
Yeah, okay. Solo.
How many minutes are they going to strap you with?
I'm doing mine and I'm doing yours.
Oh,
all the rest
boutique.
Of them?
All those years I used to do all three of them.
I know.
Remember, Spitz used to dump a bushel on me. You can handle it, buddy. You got broad shoulders. Or used to have broad shoulders.
Skinny ones now.
Canelo beats Jacobs in the decision. Says he's going to fight Triple G again after Oscar De La Hoya told us this last week.
It's a must. It's a must.
Yeah, let's go.
I mean, look, as a promoter, I promote the way I fought in my career, and that's fighting the very best and going after the toughest challenges. I mean, what fighter does not want to be involved in a historical trilogy? All roads lead to that triple, to that third fight.
You got to have the trilogy.
No doubt.
You have to have the trilogy. How interested would we be, I think we may have given it away, in watching Canelo Triple G again, third?
You know why you would love this? First of all, it was a draw, and then Canelo win. Mm-hmm. And the reason you got to have the rematch is twofold. One, things work best in trilogies, except for some bad, like Godfathers and things of that nature.
Yeah, true.
But
that's true.
Think about all the boxing.
Lethal Weapon got a little corny at the end. You know,
maybe it works best in just a double. But you know, in boxing, this is the more important reason. There's not a ton of names that we know off the top of our heads.
I'm with you,
right? So if I gotta, you know, jack up this pay per view rate, and it's not even pay per view. This is on DAZN now because both Triple G and Canelo are on DAZN. You got to have names that people know and want to get involved with. So it's definitely going to happen. I think that's why Oscar De La Hoya said that to us last weekend.
Listen, we could wax poetic about this sweet science and the scientific nature if we were talking about names that we really didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, but think about it. The NCAA tournament. Yeah, Cinderella's cute for a couple days. Then we want the blue bloods.
Yeah.
Same with boxing. Same with the World Series. Same with...
Absolutely
you want big names. You want names that, more importantly, you know. So I'm with you. I would absolutely be into number three. No doubt about it.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
Hey, BT, what happens if Triple G wins?
Triple
then
G.
It sets up number four.
Hey, listen, keep cranking them out. If it's a good number three,
I agree.
You might sell number four.
I agree. By the way, when BT is out tomorrow, safe trip.
Thank you, buddy.
Dana White will be in me tomorrow. Tyrann Mathieu will be in.
Honey Badge.
And Liverpool, English Premier League soccer great Bruce Grobelaar will join me as well.
I got the Celtics and the Rockets, but I've been a little cold all of a sudden. I don't know if I'm going to be right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.